The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. And that's because the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe has some great features like the available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, and much, much more. So think about those places that you want to go, the things that you'd like to do this weekend, and where the Santa Fe can take you. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Welcome back to the 2020 PGA Merchandise Show. My name is Kyle Porter. I got to talk to a number of different people this week about a wide variety of topics. And I think that's the thing that really excites me about being at this event this week is you can talk to really anybody you could think of in the golf world about anything you want to talk about, whether it's, clubs or the way the Ryder Cup course is going to be set up. The way social media has been integrated into the world of golf. There's a lot going on. All of it is exciting and there's a ton of energy. That's the thing I keep coming back to about, this event in this convention center is there's a ton of energy, from a lot of different, important people within the game. So it's been a blast to get to talk to some of those people about what they're doing, about what they're excited about. And I think that's really what it boils down to for me is, when you talk to people who are excited about the future and you get to discuss the things that they're super excited about, that brings out the best in everybody. So it's been a lot of fun. We got a lot of fun interviews coming up, and I hope you enjoy them. Okay, we're here at the PGA Show with Jim Nance. Jim, this is tables have turned on you. How many times have you been doing an interview with a CBS microphone, but you're not holding it?
Yeah, that might be, other than with you last year and the year before, Kyle, that might be a first. And I'm naturally inclined to want to grab that thing like Travis Kelce did to me the other night.
I was going to mention Travis Kelce.
It's a tug of war. As you know, if you give up the mic, you're giving up the network. You got it in your hands. So I'm going to try to contain myself and be behaved, even though I see the eyeball is right there on the mic flag.
It's going to be tough. I appreciate your effort there. So it's a fun week. You know, it's always an exciting week. There's so much, I think, energy in this building.
I agree.
And I'm curious about, I was thinking about kind of the intersection of golf and what you're doing with Vineyard Vines. And the question that came to me is, are you more excited about the future of somebody like Colin Morikawa, or are you more excited about the future of what you're doing and what you're developing at Vineyard Vines?
Well, that's a good question, but obviously this is very personal with me, and I spend, a lot of my week every day working on developing this line, the relationships, the accounts, the customers, and I wish Colin really well. I'm excited about him coming on the scene, and Matthew and Victor and all these young guys. But I'm also tremendously excited to be building something that I believe is going to be special with Vineyard Vines. As you can see in the poster here and everything, we've just opened a store at Pebble Beach right there off the putting green, directly across from the tap room. It's the first all-golf apparel line that's ever had its own storefront at Pebble Beach. It's a big deal. And Pebble Beach is the home of Jim Nance by Vineyard Vines, and I'm just thrilled to have that relationship.
And so I guess the natural question after that is, who had a better year at Pebble Beach, you or Gary Woodland?
Wow, come on. The man won the U.S. Open. He had a great year. What a champion. What an event that was. How fun that was for me as a resident to be able to kind of hang around the fringes and not be broadcasting it, which I would have loved to have done, but to sit back and enjoy it as a spectator, it was good and glorious. But I've been pretty happy, too, just calling Pebble Beach home, Kyle. It's been such a blessing for me and my family. It's a wonderful community. It's a drop out of the world experience for our busy lifestyle that involves a lot of travel and a lot of energy and excitement on the road. But you go back home and you're around people that love the game. They're happy to be there. You're around a lot of happy people. And I just love it. We got the event coming up in a couple of weeks, the AT&T. It's an exciting time. But the rest of the year, we just have golfers. There's no traffic. There are no stoplights really to speak of. It's just It's pure golf. It's just a mecca of golf in the United States in my mind. And I just love being a part of it.
Well, last year, I don't know if you know this, but last year was my first time out there for the U.S. Open, and I was blown away just by and you've said this. I think you said this last night. It's a very spiritual experience, and it's very serene. It's very calm. I know there's a lot going on with your store. You mentioned some of the bells and whistles that are happening.
Yeah.
What's the part that you're most excited about in terms of kind of what it offers people that are coming in to check things out?
I'll say this. There's been a marketing plan behind it. We are the only golf apparel line that has an ad in every issue of Golf Digest. There are credits at the end of every CBS show for the line. We have been able to, in the first year, find ourselves in many and almost all of the top 100 clubs in America. They've taken on the line. They've had great sell-through. And now, so you go to, this marks kind of the end of the first year, and we got this Pebble Beach relationship. We got players wearing it now. Ollie Schneider, Freddie Couples, more are coming. They call me. They want to be involved in it. I feel like we're building something. And it's just the feedback that I get from people now. They're starting to click in the awareness that, oh, you have a store at Pebble Beach. Oh, you have this business partnership with Vineyard Vines. And it's a thrill. I mean, at this stage of my life, I love entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
My proudest achievement of my whole career will be the fact that I built, along with my wife, an Alzheimer's Research Center in Houston, named for my dad at Houston Methodist Hospital. I say built it, co-created with Methodist Hospital, had a vision and an idea of what we wanted to do, and it's thriving. It took work, still does, but we got a great team in place there. Built a wine brand with my partner, Peter Deutsch. Very proud of what we've been able to do with the calling. But of all the things in my life I felt I had a skill level to do something with, it would be in golf. It would be in golf apparel. I had a history with Ashworth back in the day when it was the number one golf apparel brand in the world. I served on the board for 8 years. I understood design, marketing, sales, distributorship, all these things that were so essential. I understood green grass. And now I didn't realize that years later I would have a chance to team up with a giant as great as Vineyard Vines that was as eagerly enthusiastic as I was to do something great in golf and be able to put my name right on the line with Vineyard Vines. It's a big deal to me. I wouldn't have done it if I didn't think it could be really big. You know, I want to do things that I feel like, just again, the entrepreneur side of me, I like to win. I like to build things. I love my broadcasting life. That was the childhood dream. It remains that. But I can manage time, and I can manage a lot of things. And this is something that has my interest level on the business side of it, because it's about golf. It's about doing something for the game. It's something that the golfer, the feedback I get from the golfers who are into it now, who are wearing it and coming back and wanting more, it's really gratifying. Now, I've not been asked to ever build a golf course. I haven't, the things that I could do in golf, I get to lend a voice to it. What a privilege that is for 35 years to be able to go into living rooms and try to tell the story at these golf events. But telling a story through the fabrics, the styles, the clothing, the message, through the Jim Nance by Vineyard Vines collaboration. This is, I got to tell you, Kyle, this is a, my whole life has kind of led me to this. I really believe in the people I'm teaming up with, and I'm thrilled they have that confidence in me too.
I think you did build a golf course, and it's 53 yards, and it's in your backyard, and Tom Brady and Peyton Manning play there. Yeah. So,
what did you think of the clip? What did you think of that little back and forth with those two guys sitting up on that tee?
It was awesome. Did either of them get close to acing it?
I think the closest was about 2 feet.
Okay.
I think it might have been Peyton. But they stood up there for a while and hit a lot of shots. They joined a long list of those who I wish could go on the Rock of Fame with a plaque for those who have made a hole-in-one. There have been 16 so far in all. But no Tom, no Peyton, no Jack Nicklaus. He's hit a lot of shots up there. Arnold Palmer hit the last golf shot of his Pebble Beach life in my backyard. And then, you know, there have been some golfers that I would have loved to have, other than just Jack and Arnie, guys like Freddie Couples, Hale Irwin, Ben Crenshaw, Marco Mira, Henrik Stenson, Bryson DeChambeau, John Rahm. I mean, it's Gary Woodland. For whatever reason, built something. Again, just had a crazy idea. We could do this. The distance is the right. What I can build the elevation to be similar to scale, everything 50%. And it was just one of those things. I want to do this. It's these, you get these ideas and you think, let's try it. And we built it, and now that it's gotten some exposure, which initially I didn't want any, but Faldo made a hole in one. Mickelson made a hole in one.
The Phil one is the one that sticks out. I'm going to try to be the 17th person to
Love
put my name on there.
You coming out for the tournament?
I'm not this year, but I'll get out there again.
We'll try to keep the people back for a while, but I would love to have Kyle Porter right there on the Rock of Fame.
That'd be awesome. Hey, I would like to congratulate.
You are my Rock of Fame.
I want to congratulate myself for not giving up the mic. I think I did a great job. Hey, Jim, thanks for your
time. How about a word for Kyle Porter, everybody? And I'll do the Travis Kelce thing. What did he say? You got to fight for the right to party.
It's a really fine line creating workout clothes that are great in the gym and workout clothes that are also great to look at outside the gym. And Vuori has threaded that needle. They are designed to work out in, but they don't look like it. They don't feel like it. And it's incredibly comfortable stuff, whether you are running, training, swimming, doing yoga, running errands, lounging around the house. It really doesn't matter. These are versatile clothes. You'll find me often in the men's Sunday performance jogger because I like the jogger situation that goes on down at the bottom, but they're very comfortable. They've got a little bit of a shorter inseam, so they're not as bulky as other pants or other joggers that I have seen out there, and I've really enjoyed how they work both in and out of the gym. So now, here's what you can do for our listeners. First-time purchasers are getting 20% off. All you have to do is go to Vuori.com/first. That's Vuori.com/first. Again, not only will you receive 20% off your first order, but enjoy free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75. And here's my favorite part, free returns. Yeah, go check it out. Vuori.com/first and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing.
Welcome back to the 2020 PGA Merchandise Show. My name's Kyle Porter. I'm here with Michael Breed. Michael, welcome to the family.
Yeah, baby.
It's awesome.
It is awesome. I am so excited. It's, you know, as I've said before, CBS has been the iconic brand in all sports, in golf, and to be a part of the team, you know it.
Yeah.
You wake up every day and go, really? Like, is this really happening?
It is true. There's a lot of gratitude that I have just to be in the industry and then to be with CBS, a brand and a company that's so close to all of this. It's a really exciting thing. And you've got a show that's coming up next. I think I saw 35 weeks.
It's 35 weeks.
Tell me about what goes into that, what the preparation is like, and then what's going to come out of it on Mondays.
So the show is going to have all kinds of things in golf. So we'll talk about what took place on the tours that have been played, the events that have been played regardless. It will also be an instructional thing. We'll be able to pass along some of my instruction. I think it would be, we would miss the boat if we didn't do some instruction. Yeah. So we're going to do some of that, but we're also going to do some insight into what players are working on in their game, what the coaches are talking to, obviously the relationships that I have with the different coaches out on tour, to be able to reach to them and talk to, you know, John Tillery about what's going on with Kevin Kisner or that type of thing. So that'll be fun. Also, Greg Ducharme, who you know, is a guy who really has a good understanding of who's hot, who's not, who to stay with. We're going to embrace the weekly picks, which everybody's kind of got some sort of something that, whether it's at the office or whether it's a little bit more involved, everybody's involved with some sort of, I don't want to say gambling, but something along those lines. Who do we like this week and at what event? So we'll do some of that and just provide a lot of golf talk content. And that's one of the things that I'm excited to do, is to be able to cover all areas of the game of golf, not just, you know, what I'm doing on my radio show or what I'm doing in the instructional platforms, but mixing it all together and being able to have sort of a one-stop shopping.
And that's on Mondays on the CBS Sports Network at
11 o'clock, and then it will re-air again at 7 at night.
Okay. That's awesome. So I heard you talking to coaches that are out with PGA Tour pros. What are the things that when you hear so-and-so is working on X, that your ears kind of perk up? You're like, oh, okay, like maybe that will be something that unlocks something, or conversely, maybe locks something up, maybe makes a guy go down a wrong path. Is there anything like that?
Yeah, and it's an interesting question that you asked there because, you know, let's take a Ricky Fowler who just started working with Tillery, and John and I have a good friendship, and so I was able to ask him some questions about what he was doing, and he basically said, you know what, Ricky's got a little bit too much depth in his golf swing, and we need to take some of that out. Well, one of the things that is fun for me to be able to do is to take the viewer at home and say, hey, this is what depth means.
Yeah,
is what the danger is of having too much depth. This is what can occur from that, and you have to be able to marry depth and also width, and what is width. And so being able to bring that to somebody and explain, yeah, this is what's happening, as well as here's the danger. Here's what would happen to Ricky. You look at Ricky Fowler, and we all expect great things out of him,
right?
You've been around the game for a long time, and you understand in 2014, 2015, we're expecting Ricky Fowler to become a meteorite, and it hasn't happened.
Yeah.
He did win last year, but he kind of backed into that. 74 in the final round, 3 over par. It was not exactly what we expected. And then you look at Ricky and you go, okay, well, why is he averaging nearly 71 on Sundays? Mm-hmm. Is this a problem? And if it is a problem, which it is it a mental thing or is it a physical thing or is it a combination of both? And to be able to explain the depth issues and then get into that is really what's fun.
How much of that can you tell from just looking at statistics? So if you see shot link, guys are like their proximity from the right or their proximity off the tee, they're missing right. Can you marry the stats with some of the swing stuff?
You can. You just have to be up to date on what they're working on. So for instance, as you start making changes, you'll get some, let's take Ricky again, because we're talking about him. As he starts to take depth out of his swing, he might start to hit some pulls. And so when you're looking at his statistics and you're going, well, he's missing shots left.
Yeah.
Well, now you go, okay, well, that makes sense to me. He doesn't have the skill. He hasn't acquired the skill just yet.
Right.
This will take a little bit of time for him. And then after that, then you go, okay, you know what? In a month and a half, he should have that. Is he missing left now because there's water on the right-hand side? Is he missing left because he's trying to hit a cut that's just not cutting and he doesn't have control over the club face yet? There's a lot of little different things that you're looking at that will give you some insight into, okay, here's the guy. This is when I expect him to play well. For instance, I expect to see Ricky have all the things that he's working on by the time he gets to Augusta.
Yeah.
And I think his season, much like Jordan Spieth at the PGA last year in May, when he finished tied third, and then he went on a nice little run there, had a couple of top tens in back-to-back weeks following that T3. I expect to see Ricky start to blossom a little bit more. And instead of seeing a 65, 64, 70, 71, we're going to see 65, 64, 67, 66.
Yeah.
That type of stuff is what I'm looking for.
When you talk about swings, so Ricky is one of my favorite swings because I think it's one of the more unique ones on the PGA Tour. It doesn't look like anybody else's really. What are the swings that you look at that get you excited, that really fire you up about kind of what those guys are doing?
Boy, you know, that's, again, a wonderful question because everybody's got so there's something good in every single swing, right?
Yeah.
I had a chance to talk to Adam Scott here last year.
His swing is pretty good.
It's not bad. And so you say to Adam Scott, who, when people ask that question, whose swing do you like to look at? Everybody will go, Adam Scott. So now I've got Adam Scott, and I said to him, who's the swing that you like to look
at? Yeah, that's good.
And he says, Dustin Johnson.
Yeah.
Which is so interesting because Dustin Johnson might not be the guy that jumps off the page. You might say, well, Louis Oosthuizen has wonderful tempo, or Ernie Els has wonderful, wonderful tempo. Adam Scott has the club in beautiful positions. Colin Morikawa is a nice golf swing. The thing's in a wonderful spot, and it's an effortless motion. I like watching all these different motions. For me, what I like watching is how they match things up.
Yeah.
How a Matthew Wolf can take a club and work it outside with no forearm rotation. And then as he starts the downswing, all of a sudden now he gets a lot of forearm rotation. The club drops into the spot that we want. And now all of a sudden it's in a wonderful position.
Yeah.
So what I'm looking at is I'm trying to figure out how does it all work. That's the fun part for me. And then being able to bring that to the viewer and go, hey, here's how this works.
Yeah, for sure. I think you know, the one that I look at that really gets me fired up, and it you know, I don't know that the casual viewer would say this because it's not like a wolf, it's not a tiger, it's not even a Phil, is Justin Thomas. And I think you look at his swing and I'm like, I don't see the holes. And you see that based on the statistics. He doesn't have any holes.
No.
Off the tee, iron play, around the green. He's not the best in the world at any of those areas, but he's in the top 25 in every single thing.
He's solid in all of them.
And what is it about specifically, we'll get you out of here on this, what is it specifically about his swing? Because I don't totally know what I'm looking at, but I know that
but
I
you like
looking at it.
But you like looking at it.
Yeah, why is that?
So he actually, believe it or not, he's a guy that has two swings. He's got a driver swing where he's jumping off the ground and his feet are really, he really uses the ground beautifully. And then he's got this iron swing, which is, he's connected to the ground. It's a fluid motion. He can dial in distance really well. And to your point about Justin, what I love about his swing is he's a great wedge player.
Yeah.
One of the most underrated wedge players on tour.
I agree.
And it's because of his sequence. You talk about a guy who doesn't have, let's go back to the driver swing, he doesn't have the fastest club head speed, but he sequences so beautifully and he maximizes his launch conditions so beautifully that swing is very efficient.
Yeah.
He launches the ball, he swings up on it, and he launches the ball at a perfect, through a perfect window. But yet when he gets to his wedges, he creates a downward strike on the ball, and the ball comes out with the correct spin, the correct launch angles and apexes. And as a result, he's able to control his distance correctly. And what I love watching, Justin, and I agree with you on that, what I love watching about Justin is he does have a different swing, and he is sort of an artist when he's out on the golf course. And you see a lot of people who are just making the same motion every single time and trying to groove the same motion every single time. This is a guy who's kind of painting pictures out there.
Yeah.
He's almost a throwback.
Yeah, I agree. My week has peaked. Talking swing differentials of Justin Thomas with Michael Breed. Hey, again, congratulations. Welcome to the family. We're happy to have you.
I appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Absolutely.
Great to be with you.
Greetings, Fantasy Warriors. I'm Heath Cummings, your guide to fantasy dominance on FFT Dynasty. Join me this offseason where mock drafts become epic showdowns and every pick shapes your legacy.
If I was Adam, with the team that he's built, Will Levis makes so much more sense.
And that's not all. We're peeling back the curtain on the future with our exclusive 2024 NFL Draft Prospect Profiles. Uncover hidden gems that'll elevate your roster to legendary status.
Puka Nacua. After Cooper Kupp, we really have no idea who's going to get the targets.
Keaton Mitchell of East Carolina. Explosive speed is ridiculous.
This isn't just a podcast. It's a playbook for champions. Subscribe to FFT Dynasty now, and together we'll conquer the fantasy football frontier. Your dynasty journey starts here.